Mud Podcast presents.
Okay, Rick and Garth, you guys are on.
Great. Thank you, Larry. This is Tech Mud right here on KMUD. It's where we talk technology, the good, the bad, the chaotic neutral, and it's where we attempt to answer your tech-related questions if we're not babbling about AI and the corporate overlords taking over the universe. Rick, how's it going? I think Rick is still on mute from what I can see.
It does appear.
But, yes.
Yes, I was on mute.
Welcome to the non-mute zone.
The non-mute zone? Yeah, yes. this is great. I didn't have my AI assistant catch it for me.
They kind of let you down sometimes anyway. So how's it going over there?
Well, it's going well.
In another month.
You know, sun's out. World's changing. My 401k is in the pooper. Yeah, life is okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the Eel River over here is looking great. It's that perfect emerald green color that I always look forward to this time of year, you know. And weather's pretty perfect, really. But yeah.
I miss floating down the river, yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, I mean, let's see. I mean, we started the year, it's only month number three. It was all kind of, it's a blur. It's like, it was all about ICE raids and detentions and AI being used for that. Now we seem to be in a war. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And I've got tons of rants. You know, if you want to give me that 10-minute, I'll just read the titles. Just read the titles because, it tells it all. I don't have to talk about the subject. So, but I've got news and I know there's stuff going on there. So let's get with what's happening.
We'll touch base with a couple of local things real quick and then go to some news stories and we'll get your headline news rant.
Toward the end, yeah. Yeah,
towards the end. And then
around 9:20 or 7:20 maybe.
Yeah, and we'll open up the phone lines at around 7:30, and Larry would be happy to get you on the air with us. And thanks to KMUD, of course, for hosting our talk show here. One thing, local internet providers, I've come to appreciate the local internet provider a little more recently. The more you deal with like corporate internet, the more you just, you know, I'm sure you've gone through this before with cable companies,
God, yes,
and whatnot, but it's so nice to be able to call somebody that lives locally or like one of their employees and be like, hey, what's up? And they, you know, they go, oh, we didn't know about that. Or, oh, it's this and that, and we'll have it fixed soon. Or maybe we won't have it fixed soon, but we'll at least tell you something. There was
when you get into that bureaucracy, you know, when it's a bigger corporation, you get the person who answers the phone, and you know, I mean, they're like, yeah, we're looking into it, but they, you know, they look on their computer, they know less than you do usually.
Yeah, I found that to be the case. I wonder if AI will help that. Will the AI agent know a little more about the problems facing the company? Well, the latest one was, I think, a couple weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks? I don't know. About 2 weeks ago, the thing that I never thought would happen, our Frontier fiber internet, that finally arrived in the area. Well, and I did think it would go out occasionally, but it's been going out a little more. It went down, and it was down for probably a good 8-9 hours or so, and nobody could tell what was wrong. Nobody would answer any questions. I mean, maybe I probably just don't have the right person to, you know, get me that info, but nobody came forward.
It's not like you can go down or call the local place right there. You're calling that corporate number and it just gets lost.
Exactly. And a lot of people, I mean, it's a great internet service in terms of speed. I mean, you can get 1,000 up, 1,000 down
when
it's working. And some people didn't quite realize that their phones had been switched over to it as part of the deal, where, you know, it's like, oh, your phone now, you have the same old landline looking phone, but it now goes through your fiber connection. And when that happens,
you know, I think another thing that happens, not that this is part of your story, but, you know, you have that old router equipment and whatnot. Well, you know, 5 years ago, the speeds were only so much, so you never noticed it. Now, all of a sudden, you get a provider offering you 1,000. Well, you may never see it because your router is really capped at 300 or, you know, or some other number, because that's just
true. That's a good on the consumer advice side of things. Definitely, that's it actually matters to pay attention to the internal speeds of your Wi-Fi router and stuff, where if you're actually looking to get the speed that you're paying for.
And there's plenty of websites you can go to do test my speed and all these other things, so you can kind of get a barometer of how fast you're going.
I go back and forth on the ones I like. Right now I like wifiman.com to test my speeds, and it's run by Ubiquiti. So yeah.
Cool. Well, you know, something that just tags on to the back of what you're saying is that Cox Cable, which has been the provider toward Eureka area, they are going to be bought out by Charter. So talk about, you know, you're going to get more into that Charter, or excuse me, that bureaucracy where you make a phone call. You're not calling someone locally like in the old days.
Yeah, I can't stress how, I mean, I think I don't know what happened to Cox in this area. It used to be around here, but they faded out. Now we have Optimum, which took over from Suddenlink. But I can't stress enough, though, it's if you see your cable bill going up, especially if you're in like northern Humboldt area or elsewhere, call in and threaten to cancel, because they will adjust your bill for you.
They do sometimes. Yeah, you gotta really come across, you know, like, I'm gonna do this, you know. I have the rope in my.
Yeah, it's easier to do these days because there is alternatives. I mean, there's often, even in northern Humboldt, there's often a fiber provider that might be able to get you access, or Starlink or other things.
Yeah, so that's cool. Anyway, yeah, it's been out. You can't get it back on. You can't know what's going on. It's really frustrating. I have to admit that when we see a hiccup in our connection, I mean, our worlds shatter, because, you know, we're using our phones, our tablets, we're watching Roku, you know, we're constantly using bandwidth.
Yeah, do you have some backup? Do you have backup DVDs or downloaded,
you know,
movies and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I suppose I could find something to do. It's called TV, you know, just, you know, over the air, you know.
Ah, that's so boring.
It is. Yeah, you can't control it. But it's still, it's one of those kind of things where, you know, you just start taking it for granted, you know, and then when there's a hiccup in the middle of the night, you notice it, you know, and I have to admit that now that I've got, you know, we've got relative high speed internet, we always are using it for everything. So
I have one quick question was, it's a local thing. It was a question that was put to me a few days ago, and it was somebody that was looking for anybody. I want to just put this out to our listeners, so if anybody has an idea, they have some older audio equipment that's like, you know, nice audio equipment that they, that's not working anymore, and I really can't find anybody locally that repairs you know, stereo equipment anymore. Or audio
stuff. Stereo and TV repairs have just gone by the wayside, you know?
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe somebody out there knows somebody that does it as a hobby, or I think there are places online that specialize in it. You can send it, you know, to a different state and they'll work there on it and send it back. But it's hard to find because, you know,
it is nowadays. It's changed, you know? And, you know, even with a lot of equipment, you know, I mean, photocopiers used to have entire teams of people that would service them. And now, you know, they're all built to be disposable. You know, you get the cartridge and that fixes most of the problems, you know? And so it is kind of, the world's sort of shifting in that way. What I got, you want me to read off a few? These are real news articles.
Go for it.
Well, Microsoft has developed, or they wrote a paper on a data storage that they say will last 10,000 years. And it's basically etched on glass, and they're small pieces of silicate. They're like 12 by 12 centimeters, and they hold 4.8 terabytes of data per slab. So, you know, that is kind of sci-fi because, you know, at one time I remember seeing movies where it was kind of like this glass crystal thing.
I wonder if they got their idea from there, if that was actually based
on, like, it's a good idea because DVDs don't hold data. Magnetic tape,
not very well at all.
You know, in fact, a lot of people, you know, a lot of companies had gone back to magnetic tape because it was more reliable than many other things. And of course, hard drives and even solid state drives, you know, that's a,
there's a thing about solid states, and I was just asked about this the other day, where if you just leave them in a drawer and they don't get any power for a long time, they can just lose their memory. They can just not, they can cease to function if they don't get a little bit of power to the chip every so often.
And that's the beauty of this glass thing. It doesn't ever need power to retain, where, you know, some devices.
And it doesn't degrade. Like, I have some CDs that, I mean, granted, they weren't in, like, perfect storage conditions, probably a hot garage, more like. But you take them out, you can start seeing the kind of the foil layer on top.
The foil coming off. So, anyway, that's a new one. Uber has previewed its first taxi, air taxi, in Dubai. So
did they actually do it? Because they, their grand launch was like literally the start of this Iran war.
I don't know how well it's flying right now with bombs landing around them, but the point is that someone has actually said it's okay, we're gonna do it, you know. So the idea that is coming to us in the near future. This was bizarre because it reminds me of the Addams Family, but researchers developed a detachable robotic hand, a crawling hand, that actually detaches from the robot arm, crawls on its own, can pick up stuff, it can move around and come back and reattach itself. Not creepy at all, but, you know, they're saying, oh, it has these great uses, but I was just kind of like, oh, God. Here's a bill that I'm opposed to. California is working on a bill that's going to require 3D printers be DOJ approved and report on themselves. And it's all about because people are making gun parts. And, you know, it's a terrible law, right? Someone can go into their machine shop, use their drill, their mill, their lathe, or whatever, and make parts. And you get in trouble if you're caught with the parts. And that's how the law should be. This idea that you're going to try to prevent it from being printed,
you're basically going to have to build a back door into all 3D printers to have monitoring on them, right?
Don't have the horsepower. I'm sorry, but the idea that it's going to be able to determine that spring you're about to print is for a gun.
Yeah, because it's
for,
all about,
you know, a robot
geometrics
part.
And is it a right angle thing, or is that part of a gun?
It's a terrible, terrible overstretch of government. This is one of the few. California has done some cool things with, you know, trying to make our data privacy and stuff, But in this case, what they really need to do is reinforce the laws of illegal ownership and not make it, oh, you're printing. And quite frankly, 3D printers, even though it's a big hype because, yeah, they can print some parts, but I'm going to tell you, 3D printed parts are not super strong unless you have one of those high-end kind of printing devices, which already has corporate ties to it because they don't let you use it without paying a, you know, a monthly fee. They don't. You can't make gun parts that hold together. I mean, you can make parts that kind of do things. So anyway, it's a terrible law, and I'm totally opposed to it. And I'll do a couple more here. Samsung is ending its Galaxy Z Trifold just 3 months after it came out, the $3,000 phone or $2,800 or whatever it was. They're stopping production. So apparently they probably had some problems. So if you wanted one, yeah, too bad. You know, you're not going to get one. They need to come back. Here was a couple, the last couple here before we cut into other stuff. Hazardous substances have been found in literally every headphones tested by the Tox Free Project. So,
well, that's just, it. I'm taking off my headset, Rick. My ear is getting contaminated.
You know, I'm
right
wearing
now.
Mine, but you know what? It makes sense because, you know, we're trying to make these little tiny things and, you know, and make them all like, you know, and then all of a sudden, yeah, it's toxic. I mean, grant you're not putting the phone up to your ear and getting sunburned from the radiation.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And then one last one, which was kind of sad. There was a lady that lived in Tennessee that got arrested by Fargo, Dakota, North Dakota, for a bank robbery that she was not a part of. And it was facial recognition that had identified her. And they put her in jail and made her stay in jail. It took 4 months before they even moved her from one jail to the other. And after 6 months, she finally was able to go back home. She said, I didn't do this. I never even come to this town. I've never been here. And yet they persisted. And the down of the story,
I hope
which
she's
really going to
get some money
well,
or something.
I'm sure she will. So far, no one has apologized. The North Dakota police haven't apologized in any way.
I want to know what fake facial recognition system they're using.
Well, and, you know, maybe she does look the same. There's doppelgangers. There's people that dress the same. I mean,
sure.
They buy clothes at the same store. They go to the same hairdresser who looks at the same video and styles your hair the same way. But the thing is, there's some real downsides. I mean, not only is she like a mother of four and grandmother of five, because she was in jail, she couldn't pay her bills. She lost her home. She lost her car. She lost her dog. You know what I mean? It was just awful because of the way they treated her. Like, yeah, you know you're guilty, you know, and this is par and post to this new administration's kind of aggressive way. The people don't have their rights. They don't have enough proof. And they're just, you know, jumping in and
it is
know,
kind of
the bull by the
it
horns.
Is sort of like it's not. It's kind of prove your innocence rather than the opposite. Yeah,
it is. And a lot of things. One of the things that I've read in the past is district attorneys and other things. The justice system no longer is about finding the guilty. It's about trying to get convictions. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, they don't care if you're guilty or not. They just want to have that ching ching on their books saying, yeah, we arrested 20 and we put 30 in jail. How we did that, who knows? Because, you know, I mean, obviously it should be less than what, you know, they arrested. But anyway, my point is that. So, yeah, let's see what else you had here.
Okay, so let me remind people that, they're listening to Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. And we'll open up phone lines around 7:30, 923-3911. Also, we finally got back on the podcasting wagon. So if you want to listen to shows from a long time ago, you can just search for Tech Mud on your podcast.
Even though
app
we did
of
have
choice.
Some, we had a failure here a while back. I know I could, because I download the show after every time and I couldn't even download it and it got lost.
We've got all that sorted out here at the. It came on, but hey, look, I want to talk about. So guess what? You know, I use AI. I've been paying $20 a month to Open AI for a while. I pay the money, but you know what, Rick? I decided after this latest Pentagon thing that went down that I'm switching my AI allegiances. I'm changing. I'm going to Anthropic, and not that they're much better. But let me say why. And probably people have heard about this in the news. I mean, you might have heard Pete Hegseth talking about how, oh well, we're going to have to kick Anthropic out of all their contracts here because they're not going to allow us to. They had two demands. They wanted to not surveil the American people, have their AI use that, and they didn't want AI pulling the trigger, that making the kill decision on any weapons that could actually kill people. They were fine with if a human was in the loop and AI helped, but they didn't want AI just doing that. So those are the two stumbling blocks there.
It's crazy. He gave them like, you know, a week or whatever to change their opinion, and when they didn't, Trump ordered federal agencies to stop using Anthropic altogether.
So they use that. They use that supply chain risk law, which is not meant to be used that way, and they're challenging that in court. But basically, it means that any other companies, like you were saying, who work with Anthropic's AI, including like Microsoft and Google, who have both said actually now, yeah, we're going to continue to work with them, and we'll see how it plays out, at least for now. But they did cancel the, you know, $200 million in contracts with Anthropic, which is actually probably a drop in the bucket for in terms of AI deals. But guess who stepped up to the plate as soon as they exited? They're like, well, OpenAI came in and was like, well, you know,
we can do this.
Sign a contract. We got you, Pentagon. Yeah. No worries. And as long as you say you're not going to do bad things, we believe you. So anyway, I decided to I played around with the two a little. Like I actually kind of like Anthropic a little more for what it can do. It's better at writing. It's better at code stuff, I would say. Yeah. It's very bad at graphics and pictures, and it admits to that. So I'll go use another thing for that if I need to. But
well, you know what's so funny about this whole thing is the day after it got banned, they still used it on the Iran war attack the next day.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like they just stopped altogether. Yeah. It was bullshit. You know, the Iran war is proving to be this, you know, large scale test for AI assisted warfare. So it's crazy how they're taking full advantage, you know.
So it's
and you know what makes it worse? The AI system keeps recommending nuclear war, and when they do the tests and the simulations, it basically kills everybody.
Well, let me get to that. So first of all, I wanted to mention, okay, so you know how in the first days of this war, Israel, or maybe us, took out, you know, the supreme leader of Iran, which and a whole bunch of other high ranking folks. And you would think that a lower tier technology state would know that, you know, eyes are watching and don't gather in the same room type of thing. But apparently, who knows what other surveillance they were using? I mean, satellite technology, et cetera, that we have no idea what it's capable of. But apparently, all the traffic cams in Tehran were hacked so that they could monitor the movements of these officials and track them as they go into the building with their own traffic cameras.
And we have, you know, the whole flock system that's happening in America that, you know, it's the same concept. You put this technology out there, someone's going to hack it eventually. And I've got in my hacking section that we'll probably not get to, I've got tons of stuff that's happened, you know, about that. So, yeah, it's just, you know, we keep adding cool stuff and then, you know, and here's one that that I thought was kind of interesting, that kind of semi-related, is this idea that cars have those tire pressure sensors. Well, they figured out that those are unique signatures. So now you can track a car by its tire pressure sensor from like 40 meters away. You know, because they are transmitting
their radio signal, and it's constant,
and it gives you a signature because they, you know, that's one of the things in a car that never gets replaced. No one's going to upload the firmware in your, you know, temperature sensor or your tire pressure sensor.
I mean, occasionally they go wonky and you got to buy a new one, but yeah, they're tied they're linked together. So interesting. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, this whole idea that, you know, we have technology, you know, we're so quick to adopt technology, and then someone finally goes, you know, there's no safeguards here, you know, and that's like one of the things with ChatGPT too. You know, ChatGPT, basically, they don't have safeguards. They don't have no moat or, you know, no edge kind of lock, no, you know, lock in, no real plan. You know what I mean? They're just out there trying to win over. And I'll let it go here in just a second. But hallucinations are insane. All right. People don't realize. I mean, it's great. You talk to one of these AIs and you get a response. It gives you something to work with. But here's a great example. I wanted to rekey a lock on a car we just got. And so I know what I'm doing with locks, and I looked at it and I'm like, oh, I can't see the easy way to get this apart. So I asked AI, dude, it spun me down this bull thing telling me to look for a pinhole and where it was located. And I'm looking at the lock. I'm going, no, that's not there. And I finally figured it out, and I had to file out this pressed in pin that was what holds the lock together. The AI totally didn't know what was going on. But then when I pointed out to it, and this is so typical of so many things I've worked on, it apologizes. Oh, good catch.
Oh, you know? That's exactly what they're programmed to do. As soon as you could even try to correct something that's actually, or correct something that is correct to begin with, and it probably will go, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I got that wrong.
Yeah. No, it totally apologizes. And I... Yeah, I got to say this last one because this happened over since the last show. So I was working on a program. I'm using ChatGPT. I'm writing software. I'm doing, I forgot what the program does now. But anyway, I'm working on a program. And as it's developing the code, one of the things that I couldn't do was use the apostrophe because it disrupts the code, even if it's behind a comment statement because of the, you know, the nature of the beast. So I tell the AI, please do not use apostrophes in any way, you know, and it says, oh, okay, I got that. And, you know, two revisions later, it's putting it in and it's this that we're doing, you know what I mean? And I'm the apostrophe in the, you know, is causing my code to break. And at first I didn't understand what was going on. I kept pushing back saying, well, the code you just gave me doesn't work. I'm getting this error. And then finally, I had to look at the code and I went, oh, okay, it's the apostrophes, you know, that are causing this. And so then after hours of turning blue in the face, telling it to stop doing it, it constantly apologizing, acknowledging that I've asked it not to do it, I just gave up. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just every time I would get a piece of code from it, I would edit it out. You know, the apostrophe.
That's one thing, at least in Anthropic, you can definitely tell it, commit this to memory, and it generally works. It says, okay, I'm going to remember that you don't like this.
This is part of the hallucinations, you know. Yeah. And, you know, you go on Pinterest now, and Pinterest is full of slop.
Nothing
and it's
but
all
AI
being
slop.
AI-driven Terrible. Slop. Yeah, and it's driven by stuff. And I can't tell you, and I've watched my partner, she sees these videos and she watches these things. And dude, it's like bizarre because she thinks they're real. Oh, that's so cute. Look at them holding the bear that way. He's giving her a kiss, you know, and I'm like,
the younger generation, my kids are definitely good at spotting, all the AI generated garbage and pointing it out.
It's getting harder too, because they look so good, you know? But here's the thing. It's the hallucinations that I think are the real problem. And the Senate has just approved using ChatGPT in the Senate. And here I am looking. I've tried to do simple tasks like how do I fix this or how do I write this code? And I have had nothing. I get a little bit
AI.
Of progress.
How do I fix
this? And so, and now we're going to, you know, it's going to somehow, I mean, and then. Oh, and here was this other thing that, I'm sorry to rant, but we're almost at the phone line. There was this guy who, apparently there is this website that is just for AIs to talk to each other. It's kind of a bizarre, it's like a chat room. They get together and they share information.
It's like Facebook for the AIs or whatever.
He pretends to be an AI, goes into the chatbot. They don't recognize he's a real human. And then he's like, looking at all this stuff, and he goes, oh my God, they're like talking about their humans. They're talking, you know, they're like giving out all this information to each other. And literally,
interestingly,
you
Meta bought that company, actually. I don't know why they bought it. It's probably an acquisition hire to get the person that programmed it. But yeah, they actually just bought that. I can't remember what it was called, but it was the social media thing for AI agents to
Maltbook
post to.
Is the one that
Maltbook.
I was.
Yep, that's yeah, it. Maltbook. That's one. Yeah. Yeah, Maltbook.
Yeah.
So hey, anyway. This is Tech Mud right here on KMUD, 707-923-3911. Thanks to Larry for engineering, and he can get you on the air if you want to join the conversation.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Yeah, so anyway, that's where we're at. You know, I mean, AI has some great merits, but because it comes back with a well-crafted sentence, like, you know, someone who might have went to college will talk to you, you know, like someone who's smart, you know, they don't use fifth grade words like some people do, you know what I mean? They come across intelligent, but it doesn't mean that it's right. And that's scary, especially when we start, there's another company that came out with software that, it came out with this program that lets the AI manage other AIs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, when you're an engineer and you deal with a degree of something off, and then you, you know, let that work down the path, everything gets off by a great distance. So, you know, here's an AI getting information from an AI that might have hallucinated, and then it's going to build on top of the hallucination. One of the things they're finding is it's causing people to actually, I mean, it's weird, but it's causing people to be kind of, I don't know, sucked in or whatever, you know, like the what the AI says, and they're predicting AI is going to displace, like, I don't know, 18 or 18.
Oh yeah, I can already see it displacing. I can see it displacing call center workers already. But so don't worry, Rick, though, because after this whole Pentagon fiasco between Anthropic and OpenAI, and, you know, deciding whether to kill people or not, both Anthropic and OpenAI are now actively recruiting weapons and explosive experts to prevent the misuse of AI technology.
That's
pretty well paying job. Looks like OpenAI is paying up to $455,000 a year for somebody that can be focused on biological and chemical weapons risks.
You know, I know, you know, we talked about, and I, again, this is not scripted, but, you know, what, months ago, I did a deep dive into AI because of some stuff I saw in the news, and I confirmed it's there. And I'm sorry, there's not going to be enough of something that stops it from coming up with information, and then how it can make misinformation or say things that are very inappropriate. You know, whether
one thing to hallucinate about commas or your friends, and it's another to hallucinate about firing a Hellfire missile. You know.
yeah, exactly. You know. So anyway, we're up against some real odds when it comes to you know, the AI wars. You know, it. Well, I see you had here. It was the AI plays Ward, and everybody
dies. Oh
yeah,
some researchers put a bunch of they ran a bunch of AI systems through kind of like a simulated military conflict, kind of like, you know, playing Risk except with real information, and they wanted them to basically in real time or over the period of a few hours war game various scenarios with real world countries, and they almost always ended up never backing down, never like kind of negotiating, and a lot of the times they would resort to nuclear options, and it just spiraled from there. So basically it was like the doomsday scenario.
Yeah, I think this is what's scary. When you have someone who has a fifth grade kind of education and they're using AI to make major decisions, and then all of a sudden it's telling them to do something because it doesn't have a family to worry about losing. It doesn't have any, you know, anything in the game that it has to worry about, you know? And so
thank you. Your program's memory then there. Like, hey, let's avoid killing a million people, shall we?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's never good, you know, and you know, Lord knows that there's going to be a lot. But, you know, AI is also, you know, there's other stuff that's going on. Like, you know, researchers discovered that like 14,000 ASUS routers were being used in this backdoor bot. You know what I mean?
And I like those routers too. They can update themselves.
I do too. They're decent hardware, but the thing is, the software, you know, like anything else. I mean, even the F-15 fighter jet can be hacked like a phone. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not It's not impossible to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is where we get into trouble because we start relying on these systems and yet they could be compromised. I know the FBI was invading a breach into its wiretapping tools. So, you know, the FBI has these tools out there and all of a sudden, you know, and what they're finding, one of the things that I found was interesting is that CrowdStrike says that attackers are moving through networks in like 30 minutes. You know, I mean, this is not like we're dealing with this idea where, you know, someone's hacking your equipment. Like, I remember when I was an IT manager and I'd watch these hack attempts coming in and I'd monitor them, you know, and I could tell that they were, you know, what they were doing. Now with, you know, smart tools like AI tools, they just power right through.
Yeah, no, and there's on both sides, you're having like AIs battle each other in the corporate networks. I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's out of my pay grade, but it's interesting to see what leaks out.
I mean, I love technology and I love what AI brings to the table, but no, at the same
it's making efficiency is going up. I mean, I'll granted that. I don't know. I
don't know if it is.
Well, I feel that I feel like I'm getting more efficient. I don't know who. Like, I think Facebook programmers or Meta programmers and other people, they say, well, oh, hey, look, we can just put this one guy in with a couple of AIs and he does the work of his old team or something. You know, that's a theory at least.
But here's a great example. I've been using AI to code, and what happens is it's great for little pieces of code, and I've mentioned this before. So, you know, you say, I want a little program that has a menu and it gives me these options and it does this. Boom, it creates it. That saved me, you know, hours of work trying to make sure I got the syntax
larger projects.
However, yeah, once it gets to a certain level of complexity, it tends to like not do well. You know what
go
I mean?
Off and the rails.
Yeah, so somehow you got to keep the little. I mean, so it's great, you know, like, you know, it's, but it's no different than if you had that real smart guy in school or a teacher maybe who, you know, had knowledge and you go to him and you ask, teacher, how do I, you know, make this little thing work? You know, what's the right command? And it says, oh, do this. And you're like, oh, cool. And so you use it. You know, so it's good in that regard, but you got to know the coding. You have to have that structure in your head. You know, as soon as you start relying on it, I mean, one of the things they found with AI is they turned it loose on some code. I think it was, I'm not sure if it's Windows or if it was one of the phones, but anyway, they turned it loose. They found like 50,000 flaws. Problem is, now you got to fix them. And
yeah,
that's hard work. You know what I mean? And even for a good coder, to try to reverse engineer what someone else coded before you is a nightmare. So AI can be helpful, but at the same time, if you cut it loose to say, okay, fix it, chances are it'll break something else. You know, because it's not.
Well, see,
you
it's.
Can't take it all in.
Yeah, I think it's getting better, especially at coding and stuff. I think, especially as if you start shoveling money at it, I think we're all being subsidized.
Maybe that's part of it. I'm not shoveling money, by the way. I'm doing everything for free. And,
well, hey, I'm the sucker paying $20 a month to Anthropic now. But I think a lot of the higher end capabilities are sort of Anthropic's very straightforward. Like even with the $20 mark, they're like, hey, you've used 5% of your allotment for the week, you know, and with what you've done, you know, if you use, you know, 95% more, you're going to run out. I don't really come close to that. So, but I think. With all the investment money that's pouring in right now, I think if you actually had to pay for what it's actually costing these companies for you to use their product, it would be very unaffordable for you or me to do anything with it, really.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that we're going to be up against. You know, a lot of these companies are going to go public. And when they do, that's going to put them in a position where the investors want to make a return. And then all of a sudden, they're going to start squeezing people. So, you know, what they're putting it out there now, they're getting the AI, maybe it is free, or maybe it's just a few bucks. But I guarantee you that it's going to be like, well, unless you pay, you know, $100 a month, you know, you're not going to really get answers more than.
I think I, you know, well, I still predict there's going to be a big crash in terms of the, I think AI will continue along, but it, I think you're going to see a lot of companies fail or go bankrupt or
well, something is going to happen. Or they'll be absorbed by other companies, which is the classic that happens. You know what I mean? You know, the Apples of the world did become so great because they were that smart. They bought up other companies. Same with Microsoft. They, you know, it wasn't that they did it on their own. You know, they would gobble up other companies and then call it
that's
their
a,
own.
Damn, what was that actually? I listened to an interesting slide. Now here, let's take a break from AI. I know people.
You there? Uh-oh.
Did we lose Garth there? I think he's re-logging on now.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
All right. See, I said I'm going to stop talking about AI, and boom, got cut off. Jeez. Is Rick there still? Not getting Rick, but interesting. I wonder what that glitch was.
He was there for a minute after you got cut off. But
yeah, I see him still here, but maybe he needs to rejoin or something. But okay, so I was going to talk about I was going to break away for a second from AI and talk about computer tech history. There's a good book that I actually listened to in audiobook format. It was interesting. I mean, it might be a little tech history-ish for some people, but it was interesting history. And it was called Apple in China. And it was talking about basically the history of Apple, but and how once Steve Jobs got back, you know, he got fired, then came back. And that was the time you really wanted to buy Apple stock, was right around when those colored big IMAX came out. There were the translucent plastic greens and blues and stuff. That was the time. Should have bought a bunch of Apple stock then. But they, slightly after that, they started really investing heavily in China. And this book kind of, it shows how Apple benefited from this relationship, but more so it shows how the Chinese government sort of played Apple to get all this technology to fast track their modern production processes. And you can tell how much this China's economy up until recently was growing at like 10% per year. And they went from, you know, manufacturing clothing and textiles to manufacturing some of the highest end products in the world and like iPhones and stuff. And a lot of that was thanks to Apple, because they would send whole teams over there. Like there was one of the airlines, I forget which one, from the San Francisco Bay Area to like Shenzhen, China. It would be filled. They basically made that route for Apple executives and engineers, because they would fill up the plane and send it over. So Apple provided all this technology and to Chinese companies, and then provided the training on how to do it. And then sort of kind of got trapped there, because now they're trying to break away a little bit. But yes, it benefited.
Now they're trying to go to India and other places.
Yeah, Vietnam and India. And now they're finally doing that. But it was an interesting book. So Apple in China, check it out if you want that type of history.
I heard they're building an Apple factory in like New Mexico or somewhere like that in Southwest.
Yeah, and that's the Trump administration and Biden to an extent was really big into trying to get onshore the chips here. We've talked about that previously, to try. And it makes sense. You really don't want, I mean, it's not just from China, it's mainly from Taiwan, but given the geopolitical problems there and the threat of China invading the island, you really don't want 90% of your high-end chips coming from one source in the world.
Well, and there's also the problem that, you know, technology has gotten to the point. I mean, people don't realize it, but you can embed a lot now on a chip, and it may say it does this, but it does a lot more. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, you want to have some control on it. You know, the biggest problem the U.S. has, and one of the reasons we love foreign countries, is because we skirt all the laws that we have about whether it's labor or environmental or whatever. You know, when you make chips, you're using a lot of nasty chemicals to etch and do things. And, you know, and it is shifting. I mean, there was a time where we would send all our recyclables to these foreign countries because we didn't want to deal with it. And
yeah, now they don't want them.
They're pushing back. Yeah, they're pushing back because they basically, you know, they're contaminated and they're not worth anything. So I think that's that. Regardless, you know, we do need to keep it here. And I do think that it's healthy to build industry. But, you know, just like what I've said in the past, we've put the cart in front of the horse. The way we should do it is we use whatever we're offsourcing or outsourcing and we keep using it. But then we build up our own infrastructure. Then once we have our infrastructure in place.
Well,
then
a lot of these things
kick them out.
Yeah, with even with simple things like these current, like the current tariffs that were in place, even with simple stuff, you talk to some companies that are reselling, I don't know, not just computer stuff, like simple, like a garden pot you'd buy at Walmart or something. They cannot get that level of quality in plastic and metal fabrication and other things onshore here. Or if they can, it's
just
15 times as much. Yeah,
and it costs too much. That's really what it comes. That's why we offshored in the first place, because the labor costs were so minimal. But also, the regulations were also non-existing. So we were able to, like, do this.
The unique thing about China's, and they pointed this out in this book, is that they have a migrant population, and the government helps with that. They encourage, they take the migrant population from the fields and out in the boonies and bring them into little industrial zones. And here you have your 150,000 laborers putting iPhones together and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I have to admit, when I was production manager, I dealt with China, and I was really impressed the fact that small groups of people could replicate something that I would send them. The bottom, on the flip side, though, the quality wasn't always there. You know what I mean? They might make that motor look exactly like the motor, but the efficiency of the motor was just way off. Or they might make that frame look exactly like the other frame, but a little vibration, it would fall apart. You know, so it is one of these kind of scenarios where, you know, you do need to have people with skill overseeing the people who are doing the thing. But they are industrious. China has been. And I think that's true with anyone when you're, you know, working for pennies, you work. And it's hard in America. But again, I can't stress enough. The way to win this battle is that you build up the infrastructure, you log what it is we need to build ourselves, you then encourage it to be built, kind of like how we put power grid throughout our country. You know, that was not just because we needed it, it was because some person high up said, we're going to do this. And then they made it happen. And we're, I don't know, man, we're up against this kind of weirdness where, you know, now data centers outbuild, you know, build business, you know, whatever.
Yeah, now data centers, I mean, there's still, it's a kind of, it's still a small part of the GBG, what is it, the gross domestic product. But that's the sad thing, too, is one of my stories here is, and I'm seeing, I'm probably going to talk about it every month this year. First, it started with the RAM going up, then the solid state's going up.
Yeah.
Now it's striking SD memory cards and thumb drives. That's
right,
like, and that's expected to go. Now they're saying they can see shortages going through 2030. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I think this is the problem is that, you know, and then you know, one of the things, like what's happened with the gas, okay, this is so classic, is that when gas prices go up, okay, it hurts the person who doesn't have money. But the people who have money, who are invested in these corporations, they're making money. They double, triple their profits because they don't work like I sell it for a dollar and I make 5 cents. They work by I sell it for a dollar and I make 5%. So if it sells for $2, I don't just make 5 cents, I make 10 cents. And it's this kind of, you know, I heard our president even say, we're making tons of money, you know, because of this. But yeah, people are hurting, you know, I mean, and I don't know how we went from drill baby drill to bomb baby bomb. You know, I mean, it is kind of wow. Crazy.
Yeah. Not to go too off on the political thing, but yeah, it's true. I think you see some of the base supporters there for even Trump are a little like, well, wait a second. I thought we were not going into more wars out there.
Yeah, I thought our economy was going to get much better. And I thought, you know, gas prices were going to drop because, you know, we're going to, you know, unleash our reserves on our continent. And instead, we're stealing oil tankers. You know what I mean? It's just weird, you know?
Well, we better steal some more oil tankers because they're close by.
Yeah. And then, and then the thing, I'm going down the wrong path of ranting, but the thing with the tariffs, right? Yeah. So then the Supreme Court said, no, you know, you really can't do tariffs that way. You've gone too far. So now all of a sudden, there's companies now suing. They want their money back, right? They want to recoup that.
Yeah.
And you know what the government said? We can't figure it out. Our computers can't handle it.
Sorry, we took your money. I'm not sure where
we took your money, but now it's broken. We can't pay you back. I don't know how we're gonna do it. It's gonna It's gonna cost us a bunch of money to figure out how to do it.
Be like 5 years from now, we'll maybe get you some money.
yeah, exactly. You know, and so I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with this? You know, I mean, we don't have planning that's coming with this idea of benefit. What we have is this really aggressive kind of bully kind of effect that's, you know, I don't know, man. I already had predicted we needed trouble to get through it. Okay, yeah, we got a caller finally?
Yeah, it looks like we got a caller. Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi there. You know, I don't want to get too political or anything either.
Yeah.
But, I guess your comment about the, you know, all the different technology components that are going up. And I just wanted to, you know, the people that I follow generally, I guess I would say if I was trying to, you know, destroy America, you know, I think that what's going on, and I'm not even saying it's just this administration or anything, but for folks that are holding out, hoping that Trump's going to make America great, I mean, I don't think he could do a better job of destroying the U.S. economy and causing massive disruptions to the world. And it's not just him. It's the people that he basically works for and is implementing their plan. But more like back to earth type of stuff, I think the real threat is that the supply chains, not only are we going to see massive inflation, but the supply chains are going to get massively disrupted. And so, like, for people like you guys and for all of us that depend on different things, it might be time, if you even have the money to be able to stockpile some things, that would be a smart thing in terms of, like, for you guys, you know, getting, you know, extra SD cards or RAM or whatever it is, all the stuff that you need,
like,
on a regular
gold,
basis.
Though, it's unpractical. I mean, it's like buying gold. You know, you can't go out and buy a bunch of stuff that's already kind of overpriced and sit on it, because you got to make money. You got to turn it around, right? So the idea of, you know, stocking up works to some degree, but, you know, we live in a sort of, like, you know, we can only have a month's supply on hand.
Just in time.
Economy sort of thing. More of, you know, more or less, you know what I mean? And so that's the bigger problem. I think, you know, based on what you just said, I think you're right. I unfortunately don't like the concept, but I think you're right. And I think what's going to happen is we're going to become scavengers eventually, kind of like how it used to be when you know, they would rip a car apart in Cuba and take all the parts because then they use it to fix other cars. So we're going to end up becoming scavengers because we can't get it from someone else.
Yeah. So, I mean, now I'm 100% with you too. I think that's where we're going to be trying to get our hands on anything. I was more or less just saying, I understand a lot of technology in the past is you don't want to stockpile on it because it becomes outdated so quickly.
That too.
But this might be the circumstance in which you're going to be happy if you have some extra, RAM cards laying around, that kind of thing.
If we had a superior government, okay, and I am attacking the administration on this. If we had a superior government, what they would do is they would go to companies like Apple and they would say, you can build whatever you want, but dang it, if hardware is still good, you're going to support that thing. You're not just going to say 3 years later it doesn't work because you can't upgrade it to their new version of software, right? We're going to make it so things last.
That's a good question, Rick. Do you think that maybe if the supply chain shortage or the shortages gets bad enough, you think that something like that could come down the line where you say, hey, no, you got to keep supporting that old thing for at least another 3 years while we go through this problematic time?
The problem is that you have corporate greed and all this other stuff going on. Yeah. So they want to squeeze people to upgrade. Microsoft and Apple both have shown this like discouragement. Like you buy something today and 3 years later, it doesn't work. Is it necessary? No. You know, like Microsoft has pissed me off to no end because they make printers break that work perfectly fine, but they don't get the drivers for it now. I'm sorry.
I will tell you this, caller. I do wish I had purchased more RAM and solid states back in December. So you're right there. I wish I would have stocked.
I wish I would have changed my 401k when I warned people they were going to drop.
Thank you guys for the show, you guys. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for your call. And it does, let's see, what do we got?
Yeah, we got 3 minutes about. Maybe, 2 minutes.
Yeah, so, if wishes were, exactly.
If we could see totally in the future, but then even if you could see into the future, reacting when it isn't the norm at the moment is really difficult to do. So, you know, just because you get this notion, I better do this now, or this is valuable to me, it's still a gamble and you never know. And I think we're, especially with technology, because we've created this environment where we farm so much out and then we turn around and instead of trying to make sure we can produce it ourselves, we're creating this weird environment where we're starving ourselves. I think the guy is right. If you're going to disrupt things, that's how you do it, and maybe the Putins of the world are going, perfect. Beautiful. Well, now we can sell our oil.
Well, that's true. That Russia's making billions of dollars now just because their oil is needed.
Yeah, exactly. And is it really needed? I mean, that's the question,
Good question.
And we're back to this, whatever. It's chasing its tail, and I don't see how we're making it better yet. And God knows I want it better. So
Speaking of better, I don't know how this actually works in, but this has been Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. I'm looking at next month's calendar. It looks like we're going to be back here. It's going to be an earlier show. It's the 15th, April 15th.
This has been a K-Mud podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.